this. And by the modern wonders of technology, the slides have been changed. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. How many of you allow him to light up your path? Do you know that in John chapter 22, verse 28, it says that you will decree a thing and the light shall shine upon you again? See, when you take the word of the Lord, which is what the words that came forth tonight, when you take the word of God, you begin to decree it over your situation and circumstance, his light makes way for you. Amen. So Hanukkah is celebrating the restoration and the miracles of God. It's also known as the Festival of Lights. Even in Rochester this year, not only do we have a Christmas tree, but we have a 9-foot menorah. Praise the Lord. I hope that we stop with Christmas and Hanukkah. This is a picture of a menorah. Menorahs, you can see several of them in the slides, that can be any lampstand. See, Hanukkah is not an Old Testament piece. It's not an Old Testament celebration. So Christians who say we're not going to do Old Testament feast, well, Hanukkah is going to be celebrated. We're going to see why throughout the next few minutes. But Hanukkah actually was originated in the period between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So what is Hanukkah? Hanukkah is a Jewish word. Go ahead. The Hebrew word meaning initiation, dedication, or consecration. Go ahead. We see this with Solomon dedicating the temple in 2 Chronicles 7. In verse 9, the word Hanukkah is used for consecrating the temple. So Hanukkah literally means to initiate, to dedicate, and to consecrate. That is what this celebration is all about. The message of Hanukkah is that God protects his people. Isn't that what he was speaking to us tonight about? Anything that we need, he can do. If we need a deliverer, his name is Jesus. If we need a healer, his name is Jesus. If we need a provider, his name is Jesus. God wants to restore his temple. As a matter of fact, he says that you and I are his temple. In John 2, 14 through 17, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, it was all about the tabernacle. And at the end of his ministry in Mark 11, 15 through 27, Jesus was talking about the restoration of the temple. So Hanukkah is the Feast of Dedication. One of the themes for the Feast of Dedication is to be faithful unto death. We know through history that Jesus was faithful unto death. We're going to look at John 10 in a few seconds, but in John 10, Jesus was talking about being faithful. And then Paul wrote to the Philippians and talked about to be faithful unto death. John further told us in Revelation that if we will endure to the end, that those who overcome will receive the crown of life. It is easy to be faithful unto death. It is also easy to be fearful unto death. We have a choice. Following Jesus and walking in faith that he will do the things he said. And that's where our forefathers were. And that's where the United States is coming from. You know, God's not surprised by all of the stuff that's happening in the world. The persecution, going to do that. We haven't seen persecution in the United States yet compared to what happens daily overseas, compared to what daily happens to Messianic believers in Israel, from Orthodox Jews, the persecution that they receive because they believe that the Messiah has come and is coming back. Persecution that Muslim Christians received because they had denied how haven't seen the coming of the end. But when we begin to see that persecution, we're going to begin to see the spread of the church in far greater measure than we saw in 2,000 years ago. In John 10, 22 to 38, go ahead. John reports that Jesus was walking in the portico of Solomon. It was the feast of dedication. And Jesus was walking in the portico. If you remember the temple of Solomon, it had these big tall pillars, and Jesus was walking there in the winter time. It was comical. It was winter time. That becomes very important that we realize that our winter this year is unusual so far. But shepherds don't take their sheep out into the mountain pastures in wintertime. They don't leave them there. Not in Israel, not in Switzerland, not in the United States. Did I cover all of the Christmas stories? In verse 32 to 38, we have Jesus giving us the account of the great miracles, the great works, and the many miracles that take place through the one who is the light of the world. Where's that light residing now? In us. What are we supposed to do? The greater works than these. See, Jesus identified himself with Hanukkah. He said, I am the light of the world. During their feast celebrating the light, he decreed, I am the light of the world. So, what does the word say about him? This is why it was not an old covenant feast. There is nothing in the 400 years between the book of Malachi and the first gospel, as we know, that has any prophecy of Jesus Christ. And that is what goes into the canon of Scripture. There is a thread of the revelation either hidden or revealed of Jesus Christ. It is excellent Hebrew history. It is an excellent account of what we would call the Apocrypha. Those books of Hebrew history. And this comes from an apocrypha account. In 162 BC, the Greek emperor Antiochus IV, also known as Epiphanes, mandated that all of his subjects convert to Greek paganism. So this sounds like Washington today, doesn't it? Just convert to paganism and send me a woman. He also decreed that the temple should be defiled, and he ordered that they put an altar to Zeus in the temple, and then he sacrificed pigs in the temple. First he put in an idolatrous statue, and then he took the one thing that was an abomination in the Jewish culture and sacrificed it on the altar. There was an old Hebrew priest named Mattathias who started a revolt against Antiochus. Go ahead. However, Mattathias died in 166 BC. He had five sons, and one of his sons, Judah Maccabee, led the revolt to liberate, and he was actually successful in setting free and recovering the temple. And then, go ahead, he and his brothers dedicated the temple. And after purifying the temple, going through all of the Hebrew tradition to purify the temple, they celebrated a feast and instituted the festival of Hanukkah. It's an 8-day celebration. Now, the first Hanukkah miracle, according to the Talmud, olive oil has to be consecrated and made pure before it can be burned in the Holy of Holies. So before this oil can be taken in, it has to be consecrated for 8 days. However, there was only enough oil for one day. Every night, the lamp has to be lit, and then it has to burn all night. The oil continued to burn, and the lamp continued to burn for the 8 days, until they could add more oil consecrated according to the Jewish tradition for the land. That was the first miracle that took place. So Hanukkah is the festival of lights. It's celebrated by the lighting of the menorah. It always starts at sundown on the 25th of Kislev. At sunset tonight, the 25th of Kislev is celebrated forever. And for 8 days they were celebrated. Last year, the 25th of Kislev was on December 20th. And this year, it's today. So I wonder why we chose December 25th. Do you know that in Hebrew culture, unlike U.S. culture, life is thought to begin at conception? When did the light of the world come into the world? These are very scripturally. When the angel came and visited Mary and said the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. At conception, I believe there was a very great light. So let's see what the Bible has to say about Jesus first. Some of you have heard me talk about this before. Go ahead. In Luke chapter 1, it says, in the days of Herod, king of Judah, this is from the complete Jerusalem Bible, there was a Cohen named Zechariah who belonged to the Abiah division. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elisheba. Go ahead. In 1 Chronicles 24, we learn that the priests in the order of Abiah were serving in the temple from the 12th to the 18th of Sivan. That's June. So we know that if Zacharias was serving in the temple, it must have been June. In Luke 1, it says, in those days an angel appeared to Zechariah and told him that when he went back home, his wife Elizabeth would get pregnant and John the Baptist would be born. How would you guys like to have that revelation? You're going to go home, your wife's going to get pregnant, you're going to name him John. Go ahead. So, looking at the Bible, can we tell when Jesus was born? The angel appeared to Zacharias sometime between the 12th and the 18th of Sivan, while he was performing the priestly duties, because he was in the order of Abiah. So if John was obedient to the word of the Lord and he went home and had relations with his wife sometime within a week, maybe around the 25th of Sivan, she might have conceived. In a normal biological human gestation, you go through 9 months and you come up with John the Baptist being born on the 15th of Nisan. Now, how many of you remember what the 15th of Nisan is? You celebrate it. Go ahead, Rick. Passover. John the Baptist was born sometime around the Passover. Okay, go ahead, Rick. Now, in Luke 1:26, we're told that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist when her cousin came to visit and Jesus was conceived. Okay, so sometime around 6 months into his pregnancy, Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist, Mary conceived Jesus. That would be around his life, 25. Hanukkah. Jesus is conceived on Hanukkah. The light of the world comes into the world, whether they know it or not. The Jews are celebrating Yeshua coming into the world every year, and they light that first in your hand. And for 8 days, they're celebrating the light of the world coming into the world. Now, if she was conceived 6 months into Elizabeth's birth, and 289 days, or Elizabeth's pregnancy, 285 days later, we would have Jesus being born around the 15th of Tishri. Now, how many of you remember what the 15th of Tishri is? You go out to Gladys Bay, Feast of Tabernacles. So Jesus was born sometime around the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, even in New York, around the Feast of Tabernacles, beginning of October, which I usually would want there, so that the shepherds still might have their flocks on. They still might be keeping their flocks by night. We sing this song, and there's no sense of all this to sound from the church. Can you imagine the shepherds shaking and quaking by night as they watch the frozen sheep?
John describes Jesus' birth this way. And the Word Christ became flesh, human and incarnate and tabernacle, fixed his tent of flesh and lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory. So this should shed a light on a few other things in the Christmas story. One, she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Now the Greek word for manger is stapeion. It means manger, stall, stable, or temporary shelter. The Hebrew equivalent of phatni is sukkah, or tabernacle. In Genesis 33, we read that Joseph made sukkahs for his calf. He made temporary shelters for the calf. Can you imagine Jerusalem? Now, doesn't the Bible say there was no room at the inn? Everyone's in town for the party. These tabernacles is an 8-day feast. Everyone's in town for a party. Couldn't get a hotel room anyway. But guess what? All of these temporary shelters are around because they make sukkahs, temporary shelters, to remember how the Lord provided for them when they were in the wilderness. Are we in the wilderness? If you think you're in paradise, wait on the front of your place. If we're in the wilderness, fortunately, we have the good shepherd. During the feast, there were no rooms. And she gave birth to her son, her firstborn, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and she laid him in a sukkah. Now, when we were in Israel, they had all of these nice, elaborate, big, huge, polished onyx stone cribs that he's supposed to be laid in. And they'll take the money on the tours. Would you like to go up and kiss that place where Jesus would probably say, no, thank you. On the Feast of Tabernacles, the glory of God came into that sukkah, and Jesus the Messiah was born. And the shepherds who were watching their flocks by night came. Isaiah 60 verse 1 through 4 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, for behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see, they all gather together. They come to you, your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in their arms." And he goes on to say, "Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all of those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense. They will bear good news of the praises of the Lord." That's the promises that we're walking in, not only in this season, but especially this year. We are in the year of Ayin Ginnah, 5773, the year of looking over into our promise, the year of the camels coming. You know that the riches of the sea are coming to you. You know that camels bring not only provision, but they bring your destiny. Do you know that if God did everything he told you that he was going to do for you, did it all at once at the power of you, show you? I'm not going to. I know all of the things that he told us he was going to do when I first pressed with you 26 years ago, the preface and prophecy. If he had done it right then, it would destroy me. I was not ready. I did not have the character to handle it. I'm careful, but I did not have the character to handle what he wanted to do to us. Our candles are coming. The scripture, the light
is risen upon you. The glory is risen upon you. See, the light that is dwelling within us, we release. Part of our destiny is out there. Most of our destiny is out there. Our destiny is getting rid of those emotions. Remember when we talked about old us? Get me that man. That's a destiny. See, we can never get to ecclesia unless we're willing to do this. Unless we're willing to let the light of Christ. All of a sudden, I get this song is still going on. Remember singing that as a child? I never knew what it meant. I just thought it was nice to be familiar with others and sing this song fast. But see, Hanukkah is all about this is the light of mine, his name is Jesus. I have a choice to let him shine or to bring out. There is no room for them in the end. Then they will put out his light to be able to shine forever. John said, Jesus quoted, I am why I am in the world, I am the light of the world. See, he has sent you and me into the world to be his light. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, when you do good works, you can do one of these. Or we can do one of these. Thank you. You know, we need to learn how to accept praises from men. When someone congratulates you for a job well done, and you can't accept it, you're probably bound by a spirit of poverty. See, poverty can't accept confidence. Because Stephen says to me, good job, Al. I can say thank you. And then maybe I say, Father, thank you for the favor you granted me to Stephen, but I didn't do that. Doesn't matter if Stephen's the president of the United States, or my boss, or just a friend. We receive the compliments and then use them as part of our praise and worship. Thank the Lord, because when you do a good job, and you can say thank you. Notice I didn't say anything to Stephen about Jesus. But after a while, Stephen will say, I notice that you're always so happy doing this. Why is it? Then I start sharing the testimony. And that little light begins to shine. Psalm 36:9 says, in your light we see light. How often are we looking for our own light? Casey knows that I pray in the dark. I don't turn the lights on in the morning when I go to bed. And now that I've given my sword to Bill as his ordination gift from the ceiling fans, I'm much better off because I used to war with my sword in the dark. And I can tell when I put the fans where they got in the way. But I don't need a light to see, because in his light, I know what I need to be. At certain times, I need to be facing towards the west. At certain times, I need to be facing towards the east. And sometimes, I need to be in the middle of the room. I go where he leads me in my prayer closet. Usually, I live in a room where it's pretty much the whole downstairs. Sometimes it's outside, behind the barn, looking at the stars. Sometimes when he tells me at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you shout, it's in the barn. So that the walls will keep you from being there, and not just me. But you don't need light to walk in this room. And that's an example. But sometimes we walk into the darkness in our workplace. We
we walk into the darkness when we need to go into the hall of justice. We walk into the darkness in the morning place. If you will allow him to lead us to that one person who heard testimony multiple times of the words, put divine healings in people's hands. He will be our light anywhere in the darkness. Any place where Jesus is not glory. Except in our houses, in our public gatherings. The White House is done because if we will not decree the prayer of Jesus Christ, He's the Lord, the beginning of faith, the beginning of the very beginning, and we will walk in the darkness. Amen. And 1 John 1, 5-7 said, this is the message we have heard from him to announce to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. That is a precious promise to walk. Jesus said, I am the way of the world. He is looking for you and I, not just in the season of Hanukkah, not just in the season of Christmas and New Year, but every day he's looking for us to reveal the world of life. So whether you say Happy Hanukkah or whether you say Merry Christmas, all in all, it's all about this. Let's celebrate.
Yeah.
It's all about celebrating the one who came and set us free.
I am God's favorite.
Amen.
I know it. I'm his favorite. When I got my menorah out this evening, I did not light the candle because I said, Lord, I know about the 8 days, but I need to understand.
I just looked at the calendar and said, oh, it's supposed to say Hanukkah. Let's swear about Hanukkah.
But how many of you have heard what you know? You know about but the other part, have you heard? I've been saved 42 years, never heard it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
See, if we understand our Hebraic roots, if we understand our Hebraic roots, we begin to understand more of Christians and sinners and salvation. They mean much more to us. When we light the Christmas tree, when we light the Advent wreath, when we do those things, we're taking a return. Lord, we thank you that you give us reason to celebrate. Not just at Christmas and not just at Passover. Lord, you give us reason to celebrate with every breath that we take. Lord, we thank you that you are sovereign, that you are the light of the world. Lord, that you have called us to be salt and light in the world. And Lord, we thank you that you have called us to reach every generation with the gospel of your kingdom. And we ask, Lord, that even when you have us at this place of a crossroad, you would cause us to look to you that your light burning in us would be so bright that those around us would ask for direction to he who is to them. Lord, give us grace to witness, and Lord, give us great grace to do the signs, wonders, and miracles that will testify to who you are.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise, and we worship you. Be exalted, King Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you are the light of the world. Thank you.